everyone. Baseball America, Facebook Live and Podcast here. J.J. Cooper, Hudson Blinsky, and Carlos Collazo. As we're going to wrap up a very crazy, a very busy, a very fun first day of the draft. Before we do that, though, we do want to thank you for tuning in, and we want to thank our sponsor, Baseballism. Baseballism is the official off-the-field brand of baseball, offering apparel for men, women, and kids. Looking for that perfect Father's Day gift or the graduate gift for a graduate in your life? Go to baseballism.com, enter the code BA2017, and you will get free shipping on your order. Baseballism gear, as we always are sporting. Got the hats here, too. But so, we're jumping in. We're just going to do this rapid fire. Less questions tonight. Sorry, guys. But we'll hopefully answer your questions because we're going to cover all the teams. We'll knock out the first one first. Cardinals, great tonight. Draft. So far, nothing. They lost all their picks in the penalties for the Chris Correa hacking scandal, and so we will talk about them more on a future podcast. So one team down, yes. 29 to go. We're going to go alphabetical from here. Arizona Diamondbacks, whose first pick was at pick 7. The Diamondbacks take Pavin Smith, first baseman, Drew Ellis, third baseman, slash first baseman, and Dalton Varsho, catcher, slash OF. Catcher now, but I think the theme, Hudson, that we could say for this draft was college bats.
Oh, yeah, no question. And it aligns with some of the thinking that you typically have seen from that Boston regime that has gone to Arizona. I mean, Boston's been not necessarily analytically inclined, but generally leaning that way, a team that's very thorough in their information. And now you think about it, Mike Hayes and Amiel Sade in charge of the operation generally in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So they're probably, I'm guessing those were the guys who signed up.
You know, does not strike out.
Does not strike out.
And we mean
he
does not.
He hit more home runs than strikes, but I believe. And that's also considering he's playing in the pick. And then Drew Ellis also, Justin Perline did some analysis, our intern, in terms of weighted on base average, weighted runs above average. You know, it's not going to necessarily weigh you know, each outcome the same. So,
yeah.
So like, Dalton Varsho is a really good value pick, I think, at 68. I think he starts to make sense there.
Which seemed high.
And so I think when you're talking about Ward, in a light college catcher class, and I think there are some good day two picks in the college catcher, you get a guy who's really hit this year. You have some questions on whether from where they got him. So three college bats, those are all safe bets. I think you some immediate prospect value. Whether they're all big leaguers is another question, but they're all going to carry.
The Braves picked 5th, and then we get at 41. The Braves were a team that we kind of what happened after them. And then when it's all said and done, Kyle Wright's on the board at 5.
We've heard them tied to Kyle Wright for a long time in this cycle. And I think you could make an argument that Kyle Wright, he's got that mix of upside and floor that you really want to see. And then Drew Waters.
Guys out of Georgia, it's a general trend of theirs going back about George Lombard and all that back when I was a lot younger.
Yeah.
But yeah.
A first-round talent based on where we had him in our rankings.
Yeah, right? I mean, you know, I had heard interest in him as a guy who might end up being a big leaguer pretty quickly. And is very in Kyle Wright, you get a guy who might be a part of the foundation mm-hmm. for your World Series club.
I felt like the draft worked out the way the Braves had hoped it would.
Yeah.
Because Wright goes for, mm-hmm. which wasn't, I don't think, going to happen. Let's say it did. And they're sitting there, and Brendan McKay is the fawn as far as, because he didn't match the same Braves upside. You know, he's
yeah. I mean, my information was different based on how on what I heard. They really ever envisioned him being there ultimately, and so I don't think they really bared down for that reason.
The Orioles picked at 2160 and then a supplemental competitive balance. They go Hall and Hall, mm-hmm. and then Zach Lowther, Lowther.
Lowther.
In shortstop. D.L. Hall at 21. If you go by the...
And you talked about Hudson, just the upside this guy has. I know you mentioned the East Coast Pro showing the
performance of anyone, I think the whole summer. And I say anyone. Everyone prospect, I think this guy would have been, you know, the number one pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was that kind of athleticism. He was commanding that day. And, oh, by the way, he had a hammer breaking ball. And 12-6, just... power bite, late snap. The problem is it's not tomorrow. This is what the minor leagues are for, and I think it's a really good pick at 21.
Athletic basketball player.
I have to look up one of the videos of D.L. Duncan. They they went up, and I believe he jumped over someone a person at 6'1". Yeah. So he's very athletic, fun, humble.
Aiden off the board, shortstop who, you know, everyone's seen for. Or,
you know what? We're gonna get to some other guys who fit a similar kind of. No shot. No mm-hmm. shot this guy would have been available at 59. I believe he was in the 20s. Or in the summertime, we were looking at a guy who was a maybe shortstop. We were really enthused about was the bat. This guy had showed you bat speed. He had made plenty of hard contact. Rang, not the same, not quite the same offensively as he was. They've not played outside yet. Mm-hmm. And they're Canadian, and it's minor league teams. They play against the actual Blue Jays. But that's really spring training for them. So first time. So I do think it's a justifiable pick where they got him.
Red Sox, two guys. Track record at Missouri. And then at 63, they take athletic high school outfit. Hudson, let's start with Hauk. Again, at that spot, about the spot.
Tons of it. I mean, that's the name of the game. I mean, there were teams that tried to sign Tanner against each other.
And then kept doing it
earlier this year.
Yeah, and they both
doing it at college.
And they both go in the top third. Earlier Facebook Live. I don't know. We've had a million conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
But with Hauk, you're getting a really impactful reliever, and you need impactful relievers. There's a guy who throws from kind of a lower slot, sinks the fastball a ton, throws mid low to mid 90s. I could have said that an easier way, but yeah, I think it's a good pick. The thing is, you're distant, this year, not particularly good early. You're gonna have varying opinions on that.
Fielder, who's got some speed. But it has a little bit of pop there, too.
Yeah, just a little bit. You're kind of banking on him growing into some more power, becoming a little more physical as he becomes a high school bat to take in that round.
Now the Cubs, much like they did last year, because they're going to take a college bat with the first pick. Well, this time we get Brendan Little, left LSU righty at, again, long track record at 30. And then Corey Abbott, right.
What's interesting to me about all three of those guys is that neither of them is a bona fide, no doubt, starter. Throw three darts. You put the blindfold on and throw three darts in a line, and maybe you get a bullseye. Maybe you do get a starter out of this group. I think Brendan Little's, no doubt, the ability to reach the mid 90s with a hammer breaking ball. The day I saw him this spring was his worst start of the College of Florida. His name's escaping me right now, but he's a former big leaguer, worked a lot with Brendan.
Come some of those control issues that he had last year and even early.
Yeah, I mean, his freshman year, I believe early 100s, right around 120, if I recall. And at that point, Pennsylvania, so not like he was doing that even in a hotbed. Doesn't have the command to pitch right away for the Tar Heels, so doesn't pitch a lot and transfers. Here he is, first round pick.
You obviously, the Cubs have earned a lot of kind of, hey, they seem to know what they're doing. But the thing that's very, we feel this makes sense. They have the bats. Their bats, but they don't really have openings in their lineup for quite a while, probably.
Mm-hmm. They all have potential for plus breaking balls. In Little and Lang, you're talking about curve. I haven't seen Abbott live, but my understanding is that he's got more of a slider, and he's probably.
I think we had Abbott at 184.
Yeah, we didn't have
149.
We didn't jack him up. The learned his slider watching a video from Noah Syndergaard on YouTube, and slider when he had not. So it's like a hard mid to upper 80s slider. It's kind of that. True power hard slider, and you look at his performance, his strikeout rate was telling us, yeah, move this guy up, and we do it, and we don't quite do it enough.
Found some success. I know you're a big fan of that, JJ. That. So
there you go, let that slider break in on righties, huh?
Yeah, and they were all about the college power bats, which follows up taking Zach Collins. So at 11, they take Jake Berger, third baseman from Missouri State, at 49. Clear so far, two picks, but a very clear trend in those two picks.
Yeah, I mean, one who's a maybe first baseman, maybe third baseman, and Jake. Differences in righty-lefty for both of these guys. You're getting extreme power from both of them. These are probably two of the best power. Brent Rooker goes ahead of the White Sox in the second round. But, yeah, Gavin Sheets, Jake Berger has done it for 3 years at Missouri State. He's long been thought of as a first round. Rank him as high as he went, but I don't think that's a reach at all at 11. I think something like that.
So not far about that.
Totally just fine.
Sheets 65 and Berger.
Hunter Green come back with a competitive balance pick. Jeter down, shortstop. Mm-hmm. And
What a good draft.
You can't. I mean, picking two helps.
Yeah, I mean.
That said, there is a lot to like about that. That short Jeter Downs is good. He's not the best shortstop that they drafted.
If you go look at our rankings for the shortstops, because one prospect in the class for us because of his upside of the mound, get our list on baseballamerica.com. Position by position, you can see.
Yeah, we have all the position rankings because Lewis is a guy again who could.
If we're pretending he's not going to pitch, then it becomes very interesting because with Hunter Green, you're going to have to develop a range, the arm that he has at shortstop. Exceptional rock, Royce Lewis. And those guys are a little more well-rounded for that. I'm trying to throw a fastball 101 miles an hour and with command. So,
Hunter Green is going to be one of those difficult players. You figure that they're going to, but for one, don't have that many innings on the arm this year. So
that's all intention
next year.
And to explain that a little further, Green shut down after rough, and then he was shut down as a pitcher, with the thinking being rest before the draft. I assume this deal is going to get done relatively quickly. Nothing certainly. And so you look at him. You look at it this way: from a player going through instructs and be comfortable with that, mm-hmm. because his innings were limited this spring.
So it's pretty solid.
So the thing about this is he goes to the AZL. You would assume to start the
backyard this year.
But the thing about him that's going to be interesting is next year he is a guy who very well, much more so to me than if you took the guys like the Riley Anderson, those guys. I think he may get to low A next year. He is the guy.
Yeah, I don't see low A being a problem for him because his fastball velocity, command, life, all
that. Really have somewhere where that it gets the development of breaking ball, things like that.
Yeah, I think you could see sort of a Rick Porcello-esque kind of everything he's going to need to compete at the major league level right now. But it's hard to imagine a whole lot of minor league going to get there really quickly. He might be there 20, 21 years old. So you're looking at a... That guy's really good. That guy's going to play center field, and he's showing power this year. He's hitting the ball out of the yard, and he's going to play center field. That's an impactful play. Your third pick, you also got Hunter Green and Jeter Downs. Jeter Downs had proven himself to be one of the better hitters. Anything not to like about that draft?
No, that's a pretty easy one to take. Two guys, though, still today, because they did have the competitive balance B-round pick, supplemental effort from New York, 64th pick, and then they turn around and take shortstop Tyler Freeman out of...
Etowanda in Rancho Cucamonga. Yep.
Etowanda in Rancho.
You've been all over Hudson.
Love me some Fort Holmes. Yeah. I'm a big, big fan of this kid. I've gotten to know him a little bit and understand the way he thinks about the game, the way he approaches it in terms of his makeup. He's the leader of every team he's ever been on. Mm-hmm. He's one of the TNU national team, the personality for the area code Yankees, the East Coast program. He got a lot stronger. He showed a little more pop this spring. He has that surprise, well, that's going to die soon. And then it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. It's that extra thump in there, and that all the cliches you want to throw at this guy, he's got them. Not the best spring for him, and that's why he ends up in play for early on or entering the year. But an exciting value pick, I think.
Yeah, control the bat pretty well.
Yeah,
does he get shortstop for you?
Maybe. He's better, and he's always hit. He's another very high makeup person. Makeup reports on Tyler Freeman are awesome, and there's actually... He's actually written some blogs. You ought to dig on all these guys, but go on the internet. I'll try to read.
Doesn't need to protect before the draft. I mean, there are other players who they need to basically scrub.
Moving him up too. I'm not sure if we moved him up. I mean, another thing on consensus, we probably had him in the right spot, but issues with evaluators relating him to Jeter Downs. And Jeter Downs goes about 40 picks higher.
Rockies, again, the Rockies didn't have a first round pick. I believe that was the. Ryan Valle, third baseman from Stillwater, Oklahoma. Well, Texas looked really good late. I mean, guys can make some money, you know, in the regionals. And
yeah, he had ultimately didn't rank high enough. He's been a reliever this year for Virginia. I've got some comparisons from him to Corbin Martin, saying what's so different about Corbin Martin, Texas A&M guy who went to the Astros 56.
Yeah.
So. Big fastball, not always, velocity was not always there, but consistently low 90s, some really good cutter slider thing that he works with, and he throws a lot at UVA, probably value, I think. And then Valade was a hard one for me, the code games performances. He'd be right up there. Mm-hmm. It was not indicative of who he, I guess, really struggled at the area code games. Bounced back, had a really good fall, shortstop, but has the tools to play second or third, and has profile power for either one of those.
Coach's kid who's been around the game, been around big leaguers, basically. He's got the background is really good there. So that moves us on to the... And I said, okay, wait, let me guess. Okay, so the Tigers are picking 18. Alex Fado, 18 to the Tigers. Yeah. And then Ronaldo Rivera, 57. That is a tie.
Well, if we had a conversation on January 1st, right, and said
Alex Fado would have never worked into the conversation.
No way he's in that discussion 6 months ago. You know, he scuffles a little bit early. He's had both of his knees have been scoped. You know, velocity wasn't great early on. Velocity was really porous. This guy's got a monster slider. It's a really good two.
It's out there rivaling Bukowski's slider in the class, right?
Yeah, I would say that those are the two. Second Alonso High School alum. I'm going to have to call this guy back. With the second Alonso High School alumni to go in the top 20 picks.
Yeah, I'm trying to just move us along a little quicker. So
I'm sorry.
No, these guys. No, it's good.
Rivera can hit.
Yes, Ronaldo Rivera can hit. But that brings us up. You mentioned Bukauskas.
Yep.
To me, you said about Fado and about how if you're the tight late March and you said, how about J.B. Bukauskas at 15? Because Joe Perez, the third baseman, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
Corbin Martin, right-hander.
Yeah.
Bukauskas to the Astros seems like a good fit just because, I mean, we talked about how Bukauskas as a team at the major league level. I think only the Yankees fastballs. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It's afraid to throw a lot of breaking balls.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that the Carolina, so we got to see him a lot. But with him, the 96 doesn't always play at the collegiate level, but it does. And sometimes we'll hang up, and then he's here. When he's here, his look, it's 96, but if you can see it back here rather than right out here, mm-hmm. it's a very different look.
Zach Lowther.
Opposite of Zach Lowther.
Yeah, Lowther,
5-ish, you know, huge dude. Bukauskas, 6 foot, 6'1", but not small.
Base, pick 53.
Me and Hudson were talking about this all spring. I mean, Perez country for high school hitters. And he's obviously got the fastball that gets up there. And the home runs this season was the best hitter on his team. And he had Tommy John surgery recently. A mm-hmm. Miami commit, you might think he goes to school and hits the DH his freshman year with that Tommy John.
In time for the spring to DH at Miami. Mm-hmm. And what that tells you is probably you don't see those kinds of guys rushed to mm-hmm. full season ball. You usually see them go to extended spring training. But, you know, it's kind of an odd situation.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't necessarily see him going
to play there. Do you think he can stick at the hot corner? Is he quick enough?
That's
always a big question with us.
Miguel Sano. Is Miguel Sano going to be quick enough to play third base? Is Chris Bryant going to be quick? Teams make that work as long as you hit. You know, if you hit and you hit for power, and I think Joe Perez has that kind of profile power. He's got all fields power. He can crank it opposite field. He can turn. And he's also very young, which is the point to mention. I think he's 17, 8 months. Take a shot on him.
Royals pick three times today. 14th pick in the draft. For a high school guy, it's going to be hard to have much more track record than Nick Prado has. MJ And then Evan Steele, lefty, the second Chipotle guy taken. Because we
are those are going to be coming.
Get Chipotle for day three.
Yeah,
I'm going to be a huge fan of that. I'm always a fan of Chipotle.
Yeah, I'm going to be taken on day three. There's going to be a lot of Chipotlans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a word.
That, again, you say, okay, this is not going to be ready in time. I mean, Eric Hosmer's contract is up real soon. But Eric Hosmer is our first baseman now for really more than half a decade. And then guy who could also pitch. Eric Hosmer could do that too. So
yeah, that's interesting. The pitching for him is he's really good. He'd be a really good two-way player if he went to college. Personally, just based on what I saw only, I wouldn't go that far, but I'm sure that the Royals probably feel that way. Fall, I had guys say, hey, we always knew it was in there, but he started to show more. I think we talked about him earlier. He stands really close to the plate. I think that this spring he tried to hit for more power. He tried to prove that it was in there. And so his results weren't quite what you would hope for. He didn't bat 600 like you'd hope a high school first baseman would if you take him in the first round. I think he was closer to 350 or something. But the power he showed was there. We'll see. I mean, the track record of high school first basemen that go in the first round is actually pretty solid.
Actually, I would argue it's probably better than the college first baseman who go in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, because you have to prove yourself to go that high. Teams have to be really convicted in your ability.
Again,
to
speaking of Eric Hosmer, I think third overall in the.
And it's not like the Royals went off the board to take Nick Prado. We had him a little lower in the rankings. I think we had him 24, 25, something like that. But
again,
he went on.
That takes us.
That's not a reach.
That takes us to the Angels, and I think his farm system is very bereft, barren. You pick your uber upside, and then Griffin Canning. right-hander at 47. That looks like a really good pick at 47.
Yeah,
I got a chance to talk to Jordan Adell. He's really taken strides with his bat's ball skills this season. He has like 24 athletic, so he's raw right now. I think you could say that pretty safely, but I mean,
this guy might be the best player in the whole class. It's that simple. Now, you know, he had a lot of swing and miss, even at pitches in the strike zone. There were issues there. Mm-hmm. There's still some people who doubt whether those adjustments are going to hold up because he's facing guys. He's a risk, but he could end up being really good. There's a medical situation there, apparently. His MRI is not the best. It's a lively low to mid-90s fastball. He spins both the right 90. If you go in at a given time, you might see either one of his pitches be level of collegiate baseball. So, good pick there.
Yep. He went. Jaron Kendall, I'll say personally, I'm worried about the swing. The athleticism you get, the power potential you get, well, that's a whole different equation. He goes 23rd, and they also get.
We touch on after talking about Adell. I feel like there are a lot of similarities between these two. Maybe I'm off base. Swing and miss. That's probably why he fell to number 23. But
Midwestern boys, both on the with Kendall, you're probably gonna have to do a swing reconstruction.
They didn't do much with him this spring, did they?
No. The performance for the collegiate level, he got the job done, and put the ball in play more. He's got a tendency to pull even the outside pitch. Scary to me how much power he could have.
If you just look
when
at
he becomes a little more fluid and athletic.
Yeah, 15 home runs compared to 9 and 8 the previous two seasons. So that translated to.
And he's all the tools are there for this guy to be really, really good. You reinvent the swing, maybe you bat out of this guy.
Watch out.
He's going to play center field and hit 30 bombs.
If he's a 40 hitter, he's a solid big leaguer, I would say.
Yeah.
Half to getting regular ABs as a 40 hitter.
Now, the caveat to that is a lot of people didn't.
He has work to do. He's not a put him in the big leagues right now and be a 40.
I do imagine you're probably going to add a leg kick. You're going to add something to get kind of play with that a little bit. But there's a lot to play with.
Marlins for Tyler Kolek. They did it with Braxton Garrett, and now they do it at pick 13 with lefty Trevor Rose, 36, and then 51, Joe Dunan. They stay in North Carolina for two picks. That obviously jumps out here because a little old for the high school class. Mm-hmm. But
again, classic in San Diego. He performed there. I think he threw like an inning. Most of the pitchers threw just an inning there. But Rogers is a guy who can throw into the mid-90s, but he doesn't even always use that because he knows he doesn't use it. He's very low-key on the mound in that regard. Some teams knocked him for it.
Lively fastball. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of a lower three-quarter arm slot, but really fluid and easy. And the thing is, he is going to be 20 years old. And that's the negative side of him. But goodness, the positives are really, really. And I think is justifiable there. I we didn't have him as high.
He started to
hit, that has been echoed by some of my sources. Really is elite raw power. This guy can hit him.
Walk on.
Yeah.
Turns himself from really a non-prospect into a second.
I'm going to put it on our bet board now, but we'll have a healthy debate on his this year. I still have it as a 40 at best. John has a little picks.
Takes us to the Brewers. I'm getting it up on my phone here because let's have Keston Hiura, the pure bat hitting. Sure, bat maybe the best call. Did not play in the field this year, so there's that. Tristan Lutz. The Brewers are obviously so far this year doing more than expected at the big league level. You look at this draft, and to me, it is something where.
What happens on Keston Hiura defensively if they are going to try him throwing it?
I kind of thought an American League team would be a better fit for him with that, but they're confident in the arm.
If this or that, but. If you can hit, they're going to find a spot for you. And he can hit. He's got power. But with him, how much arm do you really need to play, to be?
America.com that says he's the best hitter in college.
Had the best season, I would say.
Best season.
You see Irvine, and he hit for a ton of power, too. So you're going to – that guy's got stupid power. He runs well. He's got a chance to play center. Probably ends up in a corner. Maybe a little bit underslid on Hiura. I'm not keen on that yet. And then slider improves this year. He's a high ceiling guy. Caden Lemons is Gumby's a little wider.
Yeah, Gumby and just run over him.
Yeah, I mean the
Reds, what a great draft because picking two helps. if you pick one, it's even easier to have a, especially the Twins got Royce Lewis, who fourth, the fifth best player in this draft. But you could also make the argument he was the best player in this draft. The SEC's easily best player this year, who put on a monster show as well.
Full lines potentially, yeah. I mean, and then Landon Leach is no slouch either. I mean, he's another one who has not been pitching very long, but has a great body. He's got a great arm stroke.
First Canadian off the board.
Yeah, that was low 90s, projects to probably be mid-90s. You know, shows the ability to spin the ball. And he's exceptionally raw, doesn't necessarily know how to pitch yet. Ceiling is high on him, and that's your third.
People who listen to this and say, how does Brent Rooker last as long as he basically was going for the SEC Triple Crown, who was among the nation's leaders in? Is it fair to say, defensively, he's not going to, as great as the season is, there still is some question about, does that translate?
Yeah, that's all fair. I think ultimately, at the end of the day, the likelihood of actualizing those tools, right? And what does this guy have? This guy has one of the better spells. Like, it's easy. 95, I don't care. Going to go opposite field tank here. And that, to me, is the biggest development of this whole season. You know, I saw this guy on the Cape. I saw this guy, you know, as an underclassman. This is judgment-wise maybe a little bit stiff for some people and limited defensive value. Competition you could have for an amateur player. That's the best comp. It's the SEC. It's a little different here. Whatever their thing.
It matters more.
It does matter more.
In the stands for every game than you do anywhere else in college baseball.
Let's move on. Mets.
The Mets in the draft. David Peterson, lefty from Oregon, 20th pick, and then they go Mark Vientos. Peterson at 20. It was crazy to think that the Mets could have that in the not immediate future, but in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I mean, he's tough, but good stuff. And
solid stuff. He's more of a back-end guy than an ace.
Should allow him to play up even more so. You know, does have a pretty good slider, fastball, and just knows how to pitch. And he's got a long track record of success and improvement.
Again, to plug the site, for sure. And then Vientos, he feels like a good value pick at 59.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought at some point today. So I'm sure they're thrilled that he was able to. They were one of the youngest players in the entire class. I believe he's 17 and 6 months, something like that. And see him. It's a little bit like Will Benson last year. Not comparing him at all, but in terms of his timing, a little bit better. And you can project on a guy who's 17 and a half to improve his timing. And as he hits some hard ground balls when he rolls over. And then when he's pitched away and he gets his arm screaming line drives to the opposite field like it's my job. I love that trait in a young hitter.
Right.
Power bat.
Yankees. We're rolling along. Before we fall asleep here, we're going to roll through them. Yankees take Clark Schmidt with their first pick, 16th pick. He can share tips with James Caprellian probably before too long, you know, kind of hanging out, rehabbing in the putting a plug in for the site. Mike Lanana wrote a really good story about Clark Schmidt.
There.
You know, thing with this, I think, you know, again, you have to think of these as portfolios, not just one pick. Mm-hmm. Team, considering the TJ and all, it's probably not a massive haircut, but they probably do save for who the reason Matt Sauer was there at 54 was because he's probably
gonna around that time we were waiting for his name to be called, who's going to take this guy. So,
yeah.
All right, number six, Kevin Merrill, 33, and Greg Dykeman, number 43.
It is. It's bringing in guys who there can be some impact there. Mm-hmm. Significant.
Mm-hmm. That's the early and often they went to, especially the college pitching market. Kubota has taken a high school bat, the A scouting director, since. That looks okay. Right? I mean, you
hold on to him next time, but it worked out really well.
Yeah, maybe we'll hold on to this guy's tool shed. I mean, 70 bat mm-hmm. speed plus power plus run. There's a lot of things like about Austin Beck.
The thing about it is and it is, and he there's a lot of things like. Not the fastest guy they drafted today.
No,
because that's Kevin Merrill. He doesn't have the best power they drafted today. Well rounded of all those guys, but what they did is after that, speed is it not.
Yeah, sometimes we say like, oh, this guy'd be a 90 runner. This guy'd be on the bases. He's got a quick left-handed swing. He performed really well this season. I think he makes total sense there at 33 for them. And then Dykeman, goodness, that guy's got power. How that power is going to translate to wood when he's playing every day. You know, same thing with Austin Beck. I think Austin Beck's going to have plenty of wood bat power. You also have a hitter, so there's that difference. But Dykeman hit for a ton of power in the SEC.
The Virginia center fielder, I believe that was Virginia went 7-8. If I remember right, paid right-hander Spencer Howard. Hazley is just Adam Hazley. That's just, you know, I want the guy who maybe, again, we're talking about a pretty polished bat too.
But Mickey Moniak and Adam Haseley back to back.
And that's exactly it. I think it comes down to the pure hit tool. There's, I mean, he was here at the National High School Invitational in Cary in 2014. Mm-hmm. School he's at.
Same as Logan. No, he was on the same travel team as Logan Orman.
But point is, plenty of track record. Grew into some power this year, really hit for power. Spencer Howard, I'm still upset with myself on how low we had Spencer Howard. You know, we didn't have him super high. I think maybe would have been a... I don't think we even... Because he still have some uncertainty here, but he pitched well down the stretch. And
yep.
Easy delivery.
Stephen Jennings, Calvin Mitchell, Connor Austin. When you talk about the whole portfolio there...
He had a bad start to the spring.
Bad start to the spring, especially. Yep. But again, to 72 as well. And you already have two premium. It helps to pick four times today, but
yeah, I have about four prep guys for the Pirates.
You know, the Calvin Mitchell, if you would ask me coming into the spring, the teens of the 20s, as bad as that good, gets off to a slow start this spring, but ultimately, you know, he checks all the boxes really as a hitter. Defensively, there are questions. Is he gonna? That you can't.
We've been talking about plus, minus, minus. Interesting.
But that's a defender. He doesn't have a good arm. It's below average arm. That should tell you how good he is as a hitter. Because if he's got those on the card, and he goes 50th overall, I mean, he's a left-hand hitter, really, really loose, fluid swing. You know, power is in there when he wants to get to it, when he tries to get to it. Still learning how to use that power. But a potent potential bat, middle-of-the-lineup type bat.
San Diego, I would say that this was a more conventional draft than I expected last year,
which is unconventional for them.
Which is unconventional because last year, you know, the Padres, it was very much about, hey, we're going to take this guy, Quantrill, at the top, and then we're going to save some money on the next pick, but we're going to spend it on the next four after that, and all that. It was very, you know, it was very creative, is a way to put it. This is Mackenzie Gore at three, who very much was a consensus guy at that spot. Mm-hmm. Luis Camposano, Bracero, I believe the first catcher off the board.
Yep. Yes.
Just ahead of MJ Melendez. And then they say, yeah, we haven't gotten enough catchers yet. Blake Hunt, which they've done this before, because if you remember right, the year they took Austin Hedges, they didn't sign him, but it was next year, then they took Brett Austin, I believe.
Yeah.
So they've kind of doubled up on this before, but again, that's more kind of guys in the spots where you kind of expect them than, hey, we're going to save some money here, and then we're going to push a guy down. And
yeah.
I didn't know they had two catchers until we're just looking at it now. There's so many drafts that's going on. But we talked about the catcher class being weak in this class, and then the Padres go and grab two of them.
It's almost like in fantasy football when you start to just, like, take all the kickers at the end so you can trade them because your friends are going to be, like, going to try to get the kickers from you because they need a kicker. But, like, the...
Doesn't work that way in baseball.
It doesn't work that way in baseball. I mean, you can't trade guys until, you know, after 6 months after the draft or at the end of the World Series.
Oh, no, we
end of the World Series
for our rookie level club. So, we're screwed.
Yeah, I think it's kind of odd to do both of those guys. I mean, you take best player available.
Yep.
I mean, that's what their draft was, and that's what they said their draft would be publicly. And
but the thing that
they
is,
did it every time, I think they thought those guys were the best player.
But it is interesting with that is this one thing that does create, not short term, but long term, is if you have two guys, they didn't take a college guy catcher and a high school catcher, you take two, and if they're both ready for low A at the same time, you either have to, you know, you do the share where they rotate, they DH and all, or eventually one of them has to kind of speed up a little bit. Because you're really, again, nowadays high school catchers don't catch 120 games in the minors or anything like that. But you do want to get a guy to eventually up to where he's catching those 70 to 90 games. And one of those guys is going to have to speed up, or one of them is going to have to slow down for that to happen. Because you can't do that for two guys in the same thing.
Yeah, I think we'll probably be talking about that for several years. Mm-hmm. Those two being at the same level with each other. And they're both, Hunt's probably... You know, Hunt's a pretty good defender. Like, to me, just pure receiving wise, I think he's one of the better. Has some of the better hands. He's got a plus arm. Has pull power, run into it kind of power. Less track record than Camposano. Mm-hmm. Camposano got a lot better in the spring. Really trimmed up his body. Second cousin of Pedro Martinez. There's, you know, used to go down to the Dominican and catch those guys. So he's got pretty good natural hands. struggles with some pitches in certain locations, but his lateral mobility was a lot better this spring with his weight loss and just being in better shape. So high ceiling there. Gonna be odd to see how they handle that.
Yeah, Giants with an interesting draft.
Giants, we're rolling around, and we're nearing the end here. I think five to go after this. Helio Ramos, Jacob Gonzalez. I know that you're a Ramos fan.
Oh goodness, I love this guy. Love this guy. I mean,
star of Under Armour last summer.
Yeah, I mean, he might be Yasiel Puig with good makeup. Can you imagine what that's like? I mean, and I say that because he's kind of like, he's not tall, but he's like, he's not really short, but he's like 6 foot. Mm-hmm. Goodness, he's built like a brick house, man. And he's tooled up. He's got really fluid wrists plus bat speed. He's got a tendency to expand the zone a little bit just because he trusts his hands so much. When he connects, goodness, that ball jumps off his bat. He's a plus or better runner. He's got a chance to play center field. He's got a big arm. He's got all the tools. Makes sense at 19.
Seattle, they have two picks, 17 and 55. I'm going to say it right now. Again, I'm not saying they had the best draft tonight, because I'll take the guys who pick one and two. But
you love you some Evan White.
I love me some Evan White. I love me some Sam Carlson. For a team that essentially had, like, I mean, you pick 17 and 55, the draft is not coming to you. But the draft came to them because Evan White is 17. Now, the thing I don't know is you get Sam Carlson at 55. I'm assuming at that point where you're going to have Florida signee, you're going to have to do some things later on, because I don't think you're going to get a big haircut from Evan White that's paying for that. You're going to probably have to do it later on. You're probably going to see that their draft tomorrow creates some room to pay Sam Carlson what you're going to have to pay Sam Carlson. That said, Evan White, Sam Carlson, love that draft.
Goodness, you could justify Sam Carlson at 17.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, maybe it would have been in
so
reach.
And you could justify Evan White even higher than 17, too.
I think that's about as low as we figured he could go.
Yeah, I mean,
lately.
Yeah, lately, I mean, we moved him up towards the end. He finished number 12 on the BA 500. Goodness. I don't know if I have anything to add. The guy can hit.
JJ did it well. The Rays, they go number 4 and take Brendan McKay. At 31, Drew
1B / LHP.
Yep, there you go. Drew Rasmussen. Is that how we're pronouncing his last name? Number 40, Michael Mercado.
Hey, Carlos, do we have a story about Michael Mercado at Baseball America?
Definitely check that out. Mercado was one of the, I guess, late risers in this class. He's an uber projectable guy. He's 6'5". His pitching coach told me he might be closer to 6'6". He's still growing. Super thin. In the low 90s with his fastball right now, touches 94, 95. He throws four pitches really well, knows how to use the two-seam fastball and get himself out of games a little quicker when his other stuff isn't working. Really smart guy. We also have the video to his pregame routine, which is very elaborate. Pitching coach Pat Edmonds over there, he kind of took some stuff from Driveline, took some stuff from Arizona State, really advanced pitching program that they're on over there, and it's paid off for Michael Mercado.
Oh, gosh, I love that pick. Mm-hmm. So, and that's your third guy, man.
I was going to say, now, guys.
I mean, we know what the Rays do with pitchers. We know consistently, time and time again, they take guys in the second, fourth, eighth round, and they get big leaguers. They show them how to throw a changeup. They develop their bodies. Goodness, you get Michael Mercado in this pitching system? Are you kidding me? And that's your third pick? And you got Brandon McKay?
You like this draft?
Goodness.
He's a fan.
Like that. Goodness, their system's trended in the right direction over the past few years. Just got a whole lot better today. And Drew Rasmussen, you know, if Drew Rasmussen wasn't hurt coming into the spring, he probably doesn't get to 31 the way he pitched. Mid-90s, good off-speed. Come on, man. Like, this is crazy.
This
class a lot.
Now, this was so much a Rangers draft. Mm-hmm. This couldn't have been more of a Rangers draft. You want your upside? I mean, the Braves always talk about we're upside. The Rangers are picking 26, 29, and 66. And they say, no. You take Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright is a college guy who's had track record and all. We're going to go Bubba Thompson, Chris Cease, Hans Kraus. We are going to put all the chips, and we're not betting it on red or black. We're going to put it on green. You know, we're going to go, you know, but the payoff if it pays off, is going to be massive. Doesn't always work for them. You know, there are drafts that the Rangers have done this where you look back on it and go, ooh, that did not work. But they also have drafts where it has paid off and they've gotten the Joey Gallos of the world and they've gotten the Lewis Brinsons of the world and all that. And you look at that, it just, again, Bubba Thompson, the arrow is pointing up, you know, really, really strong spring, extreme athlete. Hans Kraus, again, when you talk about just upside arms, that's an upside arm. That is a high upside arm. This is a risk-reward draft. So
I love it. I love it. I'm all in on this one, too. I mean, like, I don't know where to start. Bob Thompson was in the discussion this morning for being going in the top 10. And, you know, that would have been an underpay, but I don't think it would have been unjustifiable. Mm-hmm.
And you give it 26, you're getting...
Tool shed, power, speed. People impressed with the hit tool right now this spring, more so than they were last summer. Sign me up. Chris Cease, guy's going to play shortstop. We know that. I mean, we don't know how much we're going to ultimately get hit tool-wise. On the low end, I've had guys say he's Giovanni Meyer.
Which, that's not... You're not going to want to hear now because Gio was not a big leader.
As a defender. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he does have plus bat speed. He shows some power. I get it. Makes sense. Very few shortstops in this mm-hmm. class, especially at that point in the draft. And then, oh, by the way, Hans Kraus. If Hans Kraus makes it as a starter, if he gets a little bit stronger, if he does make it as a starter, wow. I mean, you're going to have an 80 fastball that's going to go for seven innings. I mean, this guy does touch 96, 97 in the late innings. Mm-hmm. So that's not necessarily your concern. Your concern is that delivery, it's a high back elbow inversion kind of deal. You're also going to have some growing up. There's going to be some growing pains for Hans Kraus. But I think with what he's been through as a young man, he's been through quite a bit with his family situation. And he's a fiery, fiery mm-hmm. competitor. So if I tell you, hey, you're going to get a really, really good closer at 66 in the draft,
you'd be thrilled.
You're thrilled with that. And if, oh, he's got a chance to start, even better.
Yep. Two more teams.
Blue Jays, Logan Warmoth, Nate Pearson, Hagen Danner. Three picks here. They go 22, 28, 61. Warmoth, the first college shortstop off the board, right? Mm-hmm. First college shortstop off the board.
I believe the only one today.
Pearson the second JUCO pitcher off the board.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then Danner as a catcher.
And also Pearson, the hardest thrower off the board today, correct? Maybe not second hardest, Hunter Green.
Hunter Green, probably, yeah.
But after that, you know, documented by, well, many, many sources that he was on
definitely it was 101. I did have a couple teams say they had 102 at his bullpen a couple weeks ago. This is another draft that I really like.
How about Danner as a catcher?
I like that one. The guy's got now power. He's got a good swing. He's a competitor. He's he's caught. This was the guy who caught the area code team, the SoCal area code team, which had Hunter Green, who was throwing a 97 mile an hour fastball. It was dancing through the zone. Matt Sauer, who had good low 90s fastball, then good breaking ball. Daniel Richardson, Nick Prado. He's got all these arms, and you don't notice him. Mm-hmm. You don't notice him until you go see him specifically to watch him catch. That's when you notice him. But he doesn't make a lot of mistakes back there. He's a really, really polished player. He's not the quick twitch explosive guy. Mm-hmm. Does it easy. Power's real right now, and he gets to it consistently. And then Warmoth, I think a guy's going to play shortstop. Mm-hmm. He's going to hit. Debates on whether it's going to be an average bat or a little bit better than that, but he's got some power too. Nate Pearson, this sky's the limit. I mean, if he went to LSU next year,
he could have been a top 10, top 5
pick. He could have been 1-1. It's 6'6", physical, slider and changeup, both improving throughout the year. He also throws a curveball. I think that's probably going to get scrapped ultimately. You're going to be a 3-pitch guy instead of a 4-pitch guy. But 6'6", athletic, loose. Gorgeous arm action. Love this guy's arm action. Turns it over really well. But, yeah.
We're down to the last one, which is good because...
And then we're going to preview tomorrow.
No.
For all 10 rounds.
No, we're not. I'm going to... Josh Norris for... Josh Norris over there.
No.
But so we have the Nationals, Seth Romero at 25, which I think we've linked them to Seth Romero for, I don't know,
forever.
Like, since the day after he was basically kicked off the team in Houston. Will Crow at 65. Again, Seth Romero at 25. Yes, he was kicked off the team. At the same time, you are getting at 25 a player who, if he had not been kicked off the team, you would not be getting at 25.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be really fascinating to see how he starts off his minor league career.
Now, again, if it was not for the fact that he had been kicked off his team, and you do wonder, like, okay, you don't want to, there is some concern, do you want to give a guy like that, who's had kind of that background, a taste of success too quickly? Like, or how does he handle failure? Because you, if not for that, you could conceivably, with a Nationals bullpen that basically seems to, on a regular basis, carry a can of gasoline, pour it on the mound and light it, you know, as the evening, as the night goes on. You could see, like, if you were dialing up the guy who could be, hey, you know, hello, Mr., you know, power reliever, he fits, he has some of those traits.
Yeah.
But, again, you come back to, usually the guys you move like that are the guys who are the premium makeup guys. And nothing is that, but I think even almost by his own admission, there's some growing up there to do. That's often not the guy that you are as aggressive moving that quickly. But the Nationals need relievers.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really going to come down to how he comes out of the gate. Right? Like, I think, you know, while his strikeout and walk numbers are really, really good, his pure out ability wasn't, you know, elite. His pitch ability. I guess his results weren't so good that you're like, oh, well, yeah, he's ready to go. I believe it's like a mid-threes ERA for his career there. So it's nothing crazy. I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but and he's doing it in an okay conference, a good conference,
right.
An underrated conference, probably a conference that should be talked about as a Power 5. But, you know, so you'll see how it translates. And he's kept in shape. Apparently he's been throwing bullpens ever since he's been kicked off the team. His last appearance with Houston was electric. It was, it was mid to upper 90s because it was a short burst. He was ruled eligible. He pitched like the same day or the next day. He was back pretty quick, and it was all still there. So you can kind of dream on him. I think the situation is you kind of see what you get as a reliever. If he's going short stints, what do you have? See if you can get something where he does have major league value this year.
And
if not, fine. You're ultimately going to try to develop this
guy. From that standpoint, there's little harm to it because he has the innings to do it this year because he hasn't pitched as much. And again, you speed him up this year to put the brakes back on next year and say, okay, that was great. Thank you for helping us. And now you're going to start. So that's what you might see. Again, he has to sign and everything too, but we've covered 30 teams. Yay!
It's only 1:10.
It's only 1:10 in the morning Eastern. Yay! So we will be back here, you know, same time. We're going to 7 a.m. Facebook, Facebook Live tomorrow.
Too. Oh, we said 6:30.
Yeah, okay. No. But we do thank you for listening. We do thank you for watching if you've watched us or listened. And we thank you to Baseballism for sponsoring us because Baseballism sponsors our Facebook Lives and our podcasts. And we want to remind you, as always, visit baseballism.com, and if you enter the code BA2017, you will get free shipping on your order. If you get a shirt, if you get a hat, they've got all kind of cool stuff. You could get a leather backpack.
Really, I got a nice hoodie.
You got a hoodie?
Yeah.
You know, so, but we thank you to Baseballism for that. We thank you to Josh Norris for being our engineer over there who has been...
I would like to make a comment to the people who are watching right now. Aaron Judge just hit home run number 22.
Aaron Judge just hit home run 22.
How many feet?
It probably 450 oppo.
What's the 450 exit
oppo?
Okay,
so we'll get there.
It just happened.
We'll talk.
But we thank you for that. We will be continuing, obviously, at baseballamerica.com. We thank you. Traffic today was awesome. It was incredible. Keep it up. Keep coming back. If you haven't subscribed, baseballamerica.com/subscribe gives you a chance to get... We've got 750 scouting reports in the queue,
words
ready to go. When your team drafts a guy, our plan is you'll right away be able to see a very good, solid scouting report on what that guy is. And we don't plan on doing that for rounds 1 and 2, which we've done tonight. We're talking about 3 through 10 through 15, and we're going to have guys, a lot of scouting reports for guys in the 20s and the 30s.
We're also going to have our 2018 watch list, which is, I think we're probably going to do the top of the list. It will be free, and then the whole list will be subscriber only. But that's going to be out this week, so no rush for the weekend.
It does not stop. A lot of great stuff. For Hudson Belinsky, Carlos Galazzo, I'm JJ Cooper. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We will be back tomorrow.